Anyway, I'm on part three of what is faith. What is faith? You know, we're Christians, right? And called believers, right? But, you know, the unfortunate part about it is, with most believers, it's either one ditch over here or it's the other ditch over here. And the one ditch over here is like, they're so spiritual, man, you just can't even talk to them. They speak a different language. They make you uncomfortable when you're talking with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're so spiritual. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, maybe they just are more connected than I am. But I'm pretty, honestly, I'm not a very emotional person. I mean, you would think to yourself, Pastor John, seriously? You're lying, right? No, I'm just, like, in my normal everyday life, I'm just pretty even keeled. You know, I want the facts. Give me the facts, and when I have the facts, I'll make a decision. And I'll base my decision off the facts, but I need the facts. So there's that one side of the one ditch in the road where it's just, people are so spiritual, I just can't understand them. It's hard for me to relate. It's just too much. But then there's this other ditch over here where, you know, people get born again. They give their life to Jesus. They become Christians. They start their faith walk, and you can't tell them the difference between them and somebody who's never given their life to the Lord. There's no faith. They're not believing God for anything. They think that they're on their own. It's just like, you know, like God is doing a mouse experiment, you know, at a local university. He just drops that mouse into a maze and just watches them until they make it through and finish off their life, right? How many of you ever felt like the mouse where God's far from you? Me too. So the place to be is in the middle. You don't want to be in a ditch on either side. You want to be able to understand spiritual things. You want to be able to understand what faith is. You want to be able to be able to talk words of faith in a real way and be able to trust and rely on God. But you don't want to get so dry and crusty and on your own that just God is far from your thinking. Because life is just, listen, I say this pretty regularly. You know why people don't want to become Christians? Because they just don't know how good it is. Most people think that Christians are just sour pusses and angry and mean, and it's true. All on the law, you know, can't drink, can't smoke, can't chew, gotta be, you know, just hard line, you know, you gotta pray, you gotta read your Bible. Just because the outspoken religious have hammered society with the law for so long, society is pushing back. And people are pushing back. But did you ever notice about Jesus? People were attracted to Jesus. The religious hated him. The religious are the one who crucified him. But the average, the sinner, they loved him. The spiritual composition of who Jesus is attractive to people who are not religious. Because when you're in his presence, you sense grace, forgiveness, peace. I don't know about you, but my times with the Lord in the morning are awesome. Awesome. And times in worship here where we're just giving praise to God, it feels good. That's the way it's supposed to be. Did you know we're supposed to walk around that way? So, you know, faith, here's the thing. People of faith and faith itself is not spooky. It's not weird. It's not, you know, like dark shadows, right? It's really real. And I said this the last couple of weeks. You know, whether you realize it or not, you are always believing something. You've made the choice to not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the only way. You've made that choice. I don't believe that. Well, you're believing something. You believe that God is a good God, or you believe that, you know, God has just left me out on my own and God's not a good God and God is judging people. You know what? You're believing something. Whether you realize or not, you are continually believing something. So if we're continually believing something, let's get a believer believing in the right direction, right? And you know, here's another thing too. The more you talk about faith, the more you talk about believing, the more you hear the word on faith, the more faith will begin to arise within your heart. It's like anything. Anything you study, I'm a turkey hunter, right? And so as we approach the turkey hunting season, I begin to just get excited. I begin to read magazine articles, and I begin to get online, and I begin to devour material on turkey hunting. And by the time I hit the opening day, I don't sleep the night before. That's the truth. But you know what? This year, I was so busy. I didn't really think about it. I barely was ready for opening day this year. I probably, the season ends on Tuesday, I probably hunted maybe a half a dozen times. Because I don't think about it, I'm not passionate about it anymore. Because I've not been reading up on it, because I've not fed on it, it's like I was actually telling my wife, I'm away in this morning as we were driving, and I said, we drive through an area where there's usually a lot of turkeys. I said, you know what? I haven't killed a turkey this year. I said, and the sad part about it is, there's 2 days left in the season, and I don't feel like hunting because I've not devoured it. I've not studied it. I've not thought about it. So the whole point is this. The more you think about the Word of God, the more you think about faith, the more you begin to devour on that, the more you read your Bible. You don't read your Bible to get God to be pleased with you. You read your Bible so that you'll understand who God is and so that you'll get all stirred up on the inside of you. We're studying faith here over the next, seriously, honestly, it could be a year. I don't know. But we're studying faith here for the next year or so because I want to get y'all stirred up. I hope by the end of this series, man, you're ready to lay hands on people and see miracles. And you know, people who do miracles, people who operate in the supernatural power of God, are no different than you. I'm going to use somebody else's stories. I've got plenty to tell you as we go through this, but I'm going to use somebody else's stories just because it illustrates a point. And see, in my mind, I thought like these great evangelists that go into foreign countries and that kind of stuff, like, you know, like when they were off of the platform and they were just living their life, like they never touched the ground. Like their feet just hovered. You know what I mean? Because they had such power and authority, and they had such a spiritual, strength to them that they were just supernatural in everything that they did. So I went to Africa. This was about 12, 13 years ago. I went to Africa on a missions trip with Christopher Alum. Okay? I flew by myself to Zambia, Africa, and I met him and his team there in Zambia to be a part of that crusade that he was doing. And people, I'm telling y'all, people would walk literally for days to get to the crusade field. Some of them walked barefoot for days to get to the crusade field for this week-long crusade. And so, first couple of days, I stayed in a really nice hotel in Zambia and was just by myself in my room. I'll be honest with you. It drove me nuts. I'm a very, very busy person. I just am moving all the time. Always got something going on. Well, the Crusades didn't start till like 9 o'clock at night. So, and then, you know, the Crusade would go until midnight or so. We'd go out and get something to eat 1 o'clock or so in the morning. And then you'd get back to your hotel and you'd go to sleep. You know, I'm up by 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, locked in my hotel room, basically. How much praying can you do? Come on, y'all. Don't look so spiritual. Well, Pastor John, you could have just been praying the whole time. Yeah, I could have, but I didn't. Okay? Come on. So you know, you can fabricate things in your mind. You know, I'm thinking, one of the first nights I got there at the crusade, I got to sit up on the platform with Christopher and the other local pastors. He would have the local pastors come up and sit up on the platform. There was like, you know, probably this many seats is like one of these sections right here, you know, 30, 40 seats or so. And so we all sat there, and I was sitting right up front, right front row, man. And so he preaches his message, and at the end of the message, he called all the people who were deaf to come forward. all who were deaf to come forward. So all the deaf people lined up. There was probably about 30 of them lined up in front. And he told all the pastors, he looked at the pastors, just the local pastors, he wanted local pastors. He said, I want the local pastors to get up. I want each one of you to stand in front of one of these deaf people. So all the local pastors came up, stood in front, one pastor in front of each deaf person. He said, okay, put your fingers in their ears. So all these pastors put their fingers in their ears, and he went just like, here's what he did. He went like this, got down on his knees. He said, Jesus, thank you that you're our healer. I ask in your name, Jesus, that you would heal all these deaf people up here in the front right now in your precious name. Ears be opened. 90% of those people got their hearing. And when you see something like that, you think, man, that dude, he doesn't sleep at night. He just stays up and prays the whole time. He probably doesn't eat while he's doing this crusade. You know, he's fasting and praying. And so I've seen that pretty much every night, see miracles like that. People getting out of wheelchairs, actually, people coming in wheelbarrows and getting out of their wheelbarrows or their carts and getting out of their carts. I saw that every night. So after about two or three nights, Christopher says to me, he says, you like your hotel? He says, yeah, it's okay. I like my hotel. It's nice. He says, well, you know what? I'm staying at a wealthy businessman's flat, and he's gone for the next 3 or 4 months. There's an extra room there. He's got servants and people that cook for me and clean and all that kind of stuff, do my laundry. He says, why don't you come and just live with me for the rest of your crusade? You just stay at the flat with me. I said, seriously? He says, yeah, come on. I said, all right, excellent. So I came back and, you know, got in that bedroom and pretty much spent my time with him. And you know what I found out? He was just as normal as I was. He watched TV just like I did. He was just like normal. And it just, I was like, you turn into a different, you're like Superman. You go into the Crusades at night and this power is moving like phenomenally, but yet you're just Clark Kent. You're just Clark Kent when it's like daytime. And it taught me something. Because I didn't, you know, I mean, I had been around Andrew Womack a lot, but I'd never seen him, you know, I'd never spent a lot of personal time at his house or anything like that. You know what it just taught me? It taught me, you know, you can operate in signs and wonders and miracles, and you can do crazy stuff and see God move in amazing ways and be normal. Faith is not weird. Did you know he prayed for those people by faith? Do you know he's no different than you and I? When he got down on his knees, that's just the way he did it. He could have stood up and did it. He could have turned his back to him and did it. He could have did it. That was just the way he did it. And you know what? God honors the way you approach him in faith. There's no formula. There's no certain way that you have to do it or you don't have to do it. You don't have to fast. You don't have to pray. Did you know that? God's going to move whether you fast or pray or not. Because, and here's the deal. Leslie, if you could bring up my text, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So we're learning what is faith, right? We're going to let the Bible define what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, here's the deal. When Jesus died on the cross, when God sent the Savior of the world to come, when God himself came as a man, and he died on that cross, he healed every sickness that will ever be on the face of the earth. He brought prosperity to anybody who will approach him on the face of the earth. He brought peace, he brought joy, he brought love to anybody who will approach him and believe him by faith. It's already done. You know your faith does not get God to move. God has already moved. Faith puts substance to what God has done. What does that just say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know, here's, in the natural mind, we try to look at God as if he's natural. But he's not. He's supernatural. You know, tomorrow, he's already gone into your tomorrows. Did you know that? He's already gone into your next weeks. He's already gone into your weeks beyond. He's already been there. He's already walked that path. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows when the end of your days will be. You know, I honestly should be dead right now. I mean, as many times as my life was spared because of what I had done, I mean, just stupid things. I can remember when I was probably 6 years old, my uncle saved my life. Almost got my head snapped off my shoulders. My uncle saved my life. And my dad and my uncle, I mean, they were heavy drinkers and heavy partiers, and we'd go fishing and they would be in the bag, man, when we'd go fishing. And I don't even know how my uncle saw it because he was in the bag. How many of y'all know what in the bag means? All right, pretty much everybody here knows what in the bag means. In case I'm speaking a language you don't know. In the bag means really drunk. Okay, so we're coming up. We went down fishing. I can't remember what we were fishing for. I think we were walleye fishing, but it doesn't matter. We were coming up like a trolley car. I had hung my head out. As you know, six-year-old kid, how you are. Hung my head out, looked down as we're going up the track, you know. Well, here's these posts went with about a half inch of room in between the side of the car and the post. And I had my neck leaning up against a post that was on the car. And there's another post coming like this. And my uncle was sitting right behind me, right directly behind me. You know, the car had elevated seats. My uncle was sitting right behind me. I'm telling you, God saved my life. In a split second, as that thing crossed by his peripheral, he was in the bag. He grabbed me and jerked my body out of the way, and that post went. Whoosh. It would have snapped my head. It cut my head clean off my shoulders. But you know what? God knew my end from my beginning. He knew I'd be standing up here this morning. He knew the people's lives that would be changed throughout the entirety of my life. God's not taken by surprise. But can I tell you something? I have to accept that by faith. I have to put substance to that with my faith. Because some people who don't believe in God would just call that a coincidence. Some people will just walk through their life. They'll never believe in God. I don't want to say they won't believe in anything because they're believing something. They're believing that God doesn't exist. They'll go through life and they won't believe in anything. They'll believe that God wasn't there, and they'll just drift off into eternity, spend it in hell because they chose not to believe the right thing. They chose to believe something. They chose not to believe the right thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So let's just kind of break that down just a little bit. Because you know, if you're going to walk in faith, and if you want to operate in faith, if you want to start believing things, if you want to believe outside of what you can see, taste, smell, or feel, the rest of the world lives that way. They live by only what they can touch, only what they can feel, only what they can see. We as believers, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. How many have been in a situation where the whole world is seemingly crashing down around you, and suddenly this light appears, a break in the darkness, a sliver of light that brings hope? And in the twinkling of an eye, in just a moment's time, a kairos time, suddenly the situation is completely flipped around and it's gone to your favor. Come on, we've all seen that. If you haven't, hold on long enough, you'll see it. Faith is a substance. So let's look at what substance, the definition of substance. So the Bible defines substance, as substructure, foundation, that which has actual existence. Did you know your faith gives what you're hoping for actual existence? Your faith does that. Your eyes don't do that. Let me tell you something. Your emotions don't do that. I have never seen, I bet, you know, I've not been around that long, but in the short little period of time I've been around, I've never seen a generation more caught up in their emotions than we have right now. Everything, you hurt my feelings, you're invading my safe space, we're creating a bunch of little babies who are only concerned about their feelings. Well, let me tell you something. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to walk in faith, quit it with the feelings. Yeah. Amen. I'm done with the feelings. Because feelings are not faith. You know, I have laid hands on people and seen heart conditions get healed, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, laid hands on people and prayed them. Can I tell you something? I've never, ever, ever felt anything different. I've never felt it. Man, I want to feel it. Come on, I've got feelings just like you do. I like it when I get tingles. I like that stuff, man. Come on, don't you? Of course. But you can't live by faith and do feelings. The two don't. Now, if God should grant you a nice warm fuzzy, that's great. Enjoy it, bask in it, like it, but don't base your faith on it. You know, this is why people, they chase after meeting after meeting after meeting, trying to get that warm fuzzy, trying to get that feeling, trying to be touched by God in the flesh. But God is not a flesh God. God is a spirit God. God, and I'll tell you what, you know, we've talked about this before, you know in your heart, somehow you know that you know that this is what I'm supposed to do, that this person was speaking truth, that this person, there's something about, you know what that is? That's actually not being moved by your feelings, that's something, that's your spirit man. That's inside of you that says this is right. That's God talking to you on the inside. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I have to take it by faith, just like you do. My faith is my substance. Let me read the Webster's definition of substance. That of which a thing consists. Think about that for a minute. Physical matter. That's Webster's definition. That of which a thing consists, physical matter. So let's just say I'm believing God for a new car. Let's say I'm believing God for a new car. My faith puts matter, physical matter, to what I'm believing for. My faith does that. Nothing else does that. Well, Pastor John, you don't have that. You're driving around that old truck. You don't have a new car. No. But my faith is taking what's in the supernatural and bringing it into the natural. It's putting substance to what I believe. Your faith puts substance to what you believe, what you're hoping for. So I have a little note here to myself. Faith is the matter of which your answer consists. So let's think about that just for a minute. Let's put that into something that I think probably everybody can relate with. How many in here have actually seen with your natural eye, have seen Jesus? I don't see any hands. How many of you are absolutely, completely, thoroughly convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is real? Almost every hand in here. Why is that? Why do you believe that? And I mean, some of them hands shot right up like this. I didn't get the words out of my mouth. Why are you that if you've never seen him? You've never touched him? Why are you that convinced that he exists? Because your faith has put substance to what you've hoped for. And you will fight tooth and in fact, I bet you some of you would take a bullet to the head for your faith. I know I would. If I'd have been in that school, now I don't know if I would have when I was a high school kid. I know I wouldn't have when I was a high school kid. But if I'd have been in that school in Columbine, and I would have been one of the teachers, let's say, in that school in Columbine, Colorado, where those evil boys came in and massacred all those kids, and they had them stand. Those of you who believe in God, stand up. I would have stood up. I don't care if they were going to shoot me. And those who stood up got shot. Most all of them died. How do you in the face of your own death stand and say, I believe in God? Because your faith has put concrete substance to what you hope for. That works for everything that you can find in the Bible. That works for healing. That works for prosperity. That works for hope. That works for joy. That works for peace. Anything that you can find, a promise that you can find in God's Word, if you apply the principles of faith to it, it will make that thing become real. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So, hope is an important part of faith. But, here's where people miss it. Hope is not faith. Hope is not faith. Did you know if you say, I hope God heals me? That's not faith. Hope is not faith. The Bible says, I think I have a note here. Oh yeah, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. There it is. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Did you notice faith and hope are two different words? I hope God heals me. I hope God prospers me. I hope I get this job. That's not faith? There's no substance behind that. Now, I will say this. Hope is the DNA. Hope is the DNA of faith. In other words, you got to hope it first before the DNA of faith. I mean, you got to hope it first to build the DNA, to make the sight picture, in order for your faith to put substance to it. But hope is based on knowledge. This is why it's important that you know God's Word. Can I tell you, every issue that you will ever come against in life, there's an answer for it in the Scriptures. Every situation that you come in, I don't care if you're dying of cancer, there's an answer for it in the Scriptures. If you can't sleep at night, there's an answer for it in the Scriptures. If you want a husband or a wife, there's answers for it in the Scriptures. If you find those answers in the Scriptures, that will build... Do you see I was being attacked by those things? This place in the summertime makes me crazy. Anyway, so if you can find those answers, that will create the DNA... The DNA for your faith to build on. So in other words, if you want answers to prayer, Jesus said in Matthew 21 and 22, whatever things you should ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. There's my scripture. Well, I use that scripture in my mind all the time, y'all. If I'm praying for something, If I don't see the manifestation right away, I tell God, I say, God, listen, your word declares whatever things I ask in prayer, believing, I'll receive. I believe that thing that I prayed for, Lord, you said. I believed. When I prayed that, I believed. I receive it. And remember, we said in Mark 11, 24, there's four parts to, what was it, the four parts to having it? Pray, believe, receive, and then you'll have it. Pray for it, believe it, receive it. Receiving's different than having. Receiving's different than having. It's like when, if I were to give you a present, you can receive it, but you don't actually have it till you open the present, take it out, handle it, then you have it. So let's keep going. Faith is specific, and it sees the answer. That's really, really important. Faith is specific. So, how can I explain that? If you want to see, let's just say you're dealing with an issue of your knee. Let's say your knee is bothering you. Let's say there's a problem in your knee. You got an ache in your knee. Maybe you got whatever those ACL is. An ACL in your knee or is that in your shoulder? That's your knee. Okay. Let's say you got an ACL that's out of whack and it's bothering you. Okay? And you prayed that prayer. Lord, I prayed and I believed that you're my healer, that you healed me, and I've received it, Lord, but I still got pain in my knee. Still feeling that pain. Faith, the DNA, the hope that's there, and the faith that attaches to it, it sees that knee pain-free. It sees you getting, for instance, if you're in a wheelchair, it sees yourself walking. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in a particular situation, whether it be a family situation where it just seems like your family is a wreck and it seems to always be that way and it just has seemed to go on for years that way, but you never imagine it any other way. People who are in wheelchairs never imagine, they dream that they're doing stuff in their wheelchair, like when they're sleeping at night and dreaming. Faith can see the answer because it's substance. It's material. It's something. Your faith builds a picture on the inside of you, and then once that picture is built, you've received it, and it's only a matter of time before you have it. So faith is a substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things unseen. I want to give you a, you know, people would say this, it's the faith is substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. So if somebody says to you, what's your proof? What's your proof? I'm going to ask you again. What's your proof that Jesus exists? What's your proof that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God right now with a body, with flesh that's handleable? You remember when he appeared to his disciples after he rose from the dead? He said to his disciples, handle me, touch me, feel me. Remember he said that? Feel me. And they felt him. He had flesh and bone. Jesus right now in heaven has flesh and bone. They said, handle me, feel me. He said, feel me. Now you all have read that. And you all believe that, right? What's your evidence? I mean, if I was in a court of law and I had to prove my case that Jesus is real, Jesus exists, what's my evidence? Yeah, but what? So what? People read his word all the time. They're not convinced of it. Your faith is your evidence. What's your evidence? My faith is my evidence. You know, here's the deal. We try to argue faith with people who are carnal. People who only think of the flesh and only look at things from the flesh. You'll never out-argue somebody by faith. You can't convince somebody that Jesus is real by just trying to give them a fleshly argument. Because your faith is your evidence that he exists. Reading the word is great. That's how you get that faith built up. That's the DNA. That's the hope. That's the DNA. That's building the substructure. That's the substance. But your faith is your evidence. And that works whether it's with Jesus, whether it's with healing, whether it's with prosperity, whether it's with peace, whether it's with joy. It all works the same way. Your faith is your evidence. Well, John, you're depressed. I don't care. I've got joy. My faith is my evidence. I don't have to see it to believe it. I'm not checking with flesh and blood in order to find out if it's real. Because I have to take it by faith. Faith is my evidence. Let me see if there's anything. Oh, I wanted to read this. This is Webster's definition of evidence. That which tends to prove or disprove something. Think about that just for a minute. That's what has a tendency to prove or disprove. Your faith either proves it or disproves it. Here's the second part of the Webster's definition. Data presented to court or jury in proof of the facts. Ooh, I like that. So my faith is the data that's presented to the jury to prove the facts. And you know what? You think about it. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the moment you say, I'm going to believe God on this, you know how many of y'all believe that there's a spiritual world out there? There's demons and there's angels. Right now we're living, if the veil of humanity or the veil of this earthly world was lifted and you got to see into the spiritual world, it'd either freak you out or it'd confirm that what you already knew. You'd see hairy, ugly, nasty, scary demons, and you'd see beautiful, magnificent, powerful angels. They'd be all the time. So we're in a spiritual battle, whether you realize it or not, and whether you want to engage in the battle or not, you are in a spiritual battle. Now, you can hide your head in the sand, but you're just going to get beat on, right? So when you speak forth your faith, thank you, Jesus, that my knee is healed, and you've got that voice, maybe demonic, maybe just the voice of your flesh, that says, my knee still hurts. No. My faith is my evidence that I am pain-free. My faith is my evidence. I present this evidence in a court of law. I present this evidence to the spiritual forces that be. My faith, the substance of what I believe, says I'm healed. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, if you could bring that up for me, Leslie. There it is. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Your faith is your victory. Your faith is your proof. Your faith is your substance of the things that you hope for. Faith is powerful. Faith can move, Jesus said, faith can move mountains. I'm all about that mountain moving faith. How about y'all? Amen? All right, I forgot about the offering. Let me just do a quick offering. You know, that it's the same, and ushers, I'm doing the offering now. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with your finances. You know, the Bible says, he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply the seed you have sown. I give not because God demands it of me. Did you know God doesn't demand that you give? I give because there's a scriptural principle that I have applied my faith to that gives it substance, that if I sow seed into a ministry, into a church, spiritually, I don't know how it works, but I can tell you it works. If I sow seed, if I give money, God somehow takes that money and multiplies it and gets it back to me. How does he do that? Well, I know some ways he does it. We get more contracts than our competitors. I can charge a fairer price than my competitors. God will give me promotions. God will give my wife promotions at work, give her raises. I can't tell you how many times a wife has gotten raises higher than what anybody else has gotten, you know, percentage-wise, in throughout the university. Why is that? God's favor. God multiplies the seeds that we have sown. So as you give, put substance behind your giving. Paint a picture of your increase. Paint a picture of you increasing in every aspect of your life. That's how faith works. Amen. Ushers, come on forward. Thank you, God, for two things, Lord. Thank you that you're going to take these seeds, you're going to multiply them, you're going to increase them, you're going to increase the harvest of our righteousness, and you're going to make us rich in all things. We thank you for that, Lord. We right now willingly give into your kingdom. And thank you that you are multiplying it for us, Lord. We appreciate it in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for this Memorial Day weekend and the people that have given their lives. I thank you, Father, that we live in the greatest country that the earth has ever seen. Father, help us to be thankful for that. Help us to just take time to recognize those who have sacrificed. And Lord, may our hearts be knit with you in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.